welcome to today's not-so-daily episode of Daily Musings. I'm Alicia, and the sun is just starting to set on New Year's Eve, and I thought, what better time to talk with you about books, which is essentially my favorite thing to talk about, instead of having a life and doing fun things, because as many parts in the world, we're having a little bit of a COVID flare-up, so people are isolating. Sorry, there's hair in my face. There's things going on. There's things not going on, so here I am. Sitting in my living room talking to you about books, and then I think later in the evening I'll be playing virtual games with people, and we'll just kind of have a, gonna eat a lot of Indian food takeout. It's gonna be a good night. So hope you guys are having your own fun New Year's Eve, whatever you happen to be doing, and Happy New Year in advance. Or maybe it's New Year's when you're watching this, because I doubt that many of you are gonna be watching this New Year's Eve evening, assuming you have plans. So I like to do a book roundup every year. I think I've done it the last few years. I can't remember how many years I've been doing it. But I've been reading somewhere in the ballpark of 52 books a year for, I think, the last 5 or 6 years. This is, I think that for me, this is just like my normal life, reading a lot of books. But I think for a lot of people, it's kind of like, why? Why would you do that, first of all? Or the idea that it's crazy. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day who also read 52 books this year, and it was her first time doing that. And she was like, it was a great experience, and I'm really glad I did it. And I'm totally not doing it next year. I'm just going to do somewhere between maybe 12 books or something like that. Because she just has different goals. So I know that 52 books is approximately a book a week. Seems like a lot. I think the first year that I challenged myself to do that, I just loved it so much, and I decided that I wanted to just have books and reading be a part of my life forever. For me, it was more about, it's never been about trying to read as many short books as I can or getting through as many books as I can to reach some kind of number. I just use it as a loose outline. I mean, some years I do less than 52. Some years I do more. It's not so much about the number. It's just the intent and the commitment to read approximately an hour a day. And it depends. So I also give myself lots of freedom and flexibility. I think there was one month in this year, maybe it was April, where I didn't read any books. And, maybe I was doing other things, or maybe I had a couple big books on the go. I never limit myself to books that are shorter. I love long books too. So, I just kind of commit to regular, 5 to 10 hours of reading a week, because I love doing it. It's a very simple, easy, no-brainer thing for me to do. Not for everyone, but it's been one of the things in my life that's brought the most positive value out of virtually all of my other habits, and it's one that I expect to do until my dying day. So hopefully that's a very long time from now. So I read 60 books this year. Actually, I wanted to do more, which was kind of stupid, so I'm pretty happy with 60, especially because I tried to prioritize books of higher quality overall. Again, really making sure I wasn't just reading a bunch of garbage books. So out of those 60, I want to share a few that I really felt had a powerful or transformative effect on me. Books that I would, and already have, strongly recommended to other people. Now, I'm going to categorize this a little bit too. Now, for the most part, some of these books, but most of them were not written this year. They were just, I discovered them this year. But there is, I think, at least one on this list that was written this year, and I would highly recommend it. But the main category, and what I want to start with today, is sort of in the self-help genre. There's a trifecta of books. There's three books that really transformed me in some kind of fundamental way that I would heartily, passionately recommend to people, such that I can imagine myself rereading these every year as a way to enjoy continued mental health, or just to kind of re-solidify the concepts. I think they're so worth reviewing. And self-help, I know it's it can be kind of a cheesy genre. I think this crosses over into maybe a little into therapy with one of them. So the first one is Feeling Good by David Burns, I believe is the name. And this is a classic book on cognitive behavioral therapy. It's been around for a while. And I think I did a video on this back in the day, when I was reading this book back in, it must have been January or February. And it looks like my video is going to die. I hope we survive to continue the tale of this video. So Feeling Good, it's a great, very practical method of confronting your own flaws in thinking, the way that you kind of sabotage yourself from having a good life, from feeling good. And it's incredibly useful, incredibly practical. That's why I did a whole video on it. Number two, and I would recommend this in audiobook format, is Nonviolent Communication, which is a an interesting title because it's really just about how to communicate in a way that is free from like judgments and, you know, in a kind way, in a loving way. I think it's the kind of book that everyone would benefit from reading. And it's really short. So I love the audiobook. I love listening to the author. I can't remember his name. I love listening to him talk. That's one I could definitely revisit every year. It's short and sweet and just really powerful. I think every chapter has like a really strong, strong message. So that's the second one. And then the third one, I don't know if I would reread this one every year, but this one had a pretty strong effect to complete the trifecta, is Self-Compassion by Kristen Neff. This is the most touchy-feely woo-woo. It's not, I shouldn't say that. It's not woo-woo, but it's like a little more touchy-feely. Like it's all about, self-compassion. It's all about like not being so hard on yourself, being compassionate towards yourself and how that creates a better life. It's very compelling, very practical. There's lots of things to do, lots of exercises that are suggested. I think like where I'm saying it's like touchy-feely and kind of woo-woo, like there are some exercises. I think the one that's, that is easy to kind of mock, even though it actually is really nice, but it's easy to mock, is when you like hug yourself or like, you know, like if you're, feeling pain or going through a hard time, just like some kind of consoling physical gesture, like a hug. It feels very cheesy. But there's some great ideas in that book. And I feel like for wellness, it would be those three that I would specifically recommend. I pretty much did not read any fiction this year, so I don't have much to recommend. I reread Rebecca by Daphne du Maurier, such a great book, written in the, I believe, in the 1930s. Love that one. Worth a reread just as much as it was reading the first time. I read a couple parenting books. I really liked Unconditional Parenting by Alfie Cohn, I think is the name. This is I felt like it was just a solid, well-researched, well-argued book about the value of providing your children with unconditional love as opposed to punishments and judgments, like all the various ways in which we behave with our children and other people in our lives as well, where we act like if you do this thing for me, then I will love you, or if you behave in this way, then I won't love you. Even if we don't really feel that, our actions can create those feelings inside our children, which is terrible, of course. So I found it to be really thought-provoking, eye-opening, and difficult also, because it's difficult to act in with such kindness and with being so giving and generous to your children. And I think it's a great read for any parent. I also feel like a lot of it crossed over into relationships in general. Like how do I be more loving in my relationships? Just less selfish, more giving, that kind of thing. So that was a really good book as well. Now, the most fascinating books I read this year. The first one, this is a new book that was released this year. It's sort of about brain science, sort of about AI. It's a little bit of both, and it's excellent. Is 1,000 Brains by Jeff Hawkins. This is, he's just a really interesting dude who's been studying the brain for a while. So I felt that the first half of the book was a really great explanation on how the brain works and how, you know, you're learning things about like cortical columns and the brain's kind of algorithm, and then how that is then being applied in technology to create artificial intelligence systems, or how it could theoretically be used in the future. He also explores some doomsday scenarios, threats to mankind, the possibilities of AI and his opinion on it, which was wonderful. I loved especially the second half of the book, although the first half of the book was very interesting as well. So if you're interested in technology, brain science, that kind of thing, then definitely check that one out. So I also, I read a series of books that I just want to give a shout out to. Now, this isn't going to be something that most people will read, and I wouldn't recommend this generally, but I loved it. So for anyone who's interested in childhood education, this kind of goes along with parenting, but it's a little more on the education side. It's a series of 6 books written by Charlotte Mason, who was a late 19th century, early 20th century British educator. And I just think that a lot of her ideas and concepts stand up to the test of time. Just great stuff. I spent a long period of, I mean, they're not the easiest books to read. They're a little bit dense. So it was a great period of my life in the winter and spring when I went through those books. Really enjoyed them. For those of you who are into that niche kind of thing, and for those of you generally who have children or are interested in this, I think Last Child in the Woods is a very good book as well. It was something I read when I was at the cabin doing a disconnect trip, and it felt like the perfect book to read at a cabin when one is doing a disconnect trip. So, that was another good one about the virtue of nature, if for all humans, not just children, but like particularly children, which is the focus of the book. Very, very good. It makes a case for not like moving out to the middle of nowhere, but just having access to trees, having access to green space, and what the lack of that does to our kids. Very, very good. I want to give like a woo-woo shout out. One, this will probably be my, maybe I'll give two more suggestions. So the woo-woo one is, it was kind of like spiritual, hippy-dippy. I don't read a lot of stuff like this, but I do like to from time to time. And I really liked a book called The Surrender Experiment. Now it's behind me somewhere. It's by Peter Singer. Oh, this is the other one. I think I recommended this one last year, The Untethered Soul. This book is better than The Surrender Experiment, so don't get me wrong. This would be the one I would recommend, The Untethered Soul. Very good. I really want to reread this one. But The Surrender Experiment was just so fun to read. It was basically like a memoir. It was sort of an autobiography taking you through this guy's crazy life and how he has related everything to just like accepting and surrendering and the role that's played in his life and how that thread is weaved through his entire crazy story. So I loved the story of it. It felt almost more like reading fiction than reading something that was real life. And as a final one, I read probably 5 or 6 books specifically about psychedelics. And this would be things like last year I read How to Change Your Mind by Michael Pollan, which is a pretty well-known book about psychedelics. And that kind of opened the door to reading more books on the topic. I really liked, though, Aldous Huxley's Doors of Perception and Heaven and Hell. And my battery died, but I'm here. Hopefully it will stay alive a couple minutes longer. Just to finish up, Aldous Huxley, Heaven and Hell, and Doors of Perception. Really good. I love Huxley's writing, and when he writes about psychedelics is really interesting. I just felt like that almost read like fiction as well, but there's some good little nuggets in there, some good little insights, and it's a very simple, quick read. That is just kind of dense with interesting observations on life and reality. So the one that I forgot to mention, because there were 2 fascinating books I read, and one of them was, well, there's probably more than that, but one, if I had to narrow it down, one was 1,000 Brains, which I already told you about. The other one that I really enjoyed, and I got really into reading about pandemics in the early part of this year, which is probably not that surprising. I mean, we're in the second year in a pandemic. But I had this book before COVID ever struck. It's a book called How to Survive a Pandemic. And it's, I read it for a second time this year. I love it. It's good. It talks a lot about H5N1. This book was mainly written before COVID was a thing. So it focuses a lot on influenza, which it's interesting because influenza was perceived as such a huge threat in the mid-2010s and stuff like that. And then COVID was what ended up actually causing a global pandemic. So it's just kind of interesting how, what you expect is going to be different from reality. That's not to say, though, that a major influenza pandemic isn't on the horizon. I think it's got a lot of, I had a lot of fun reading it. It's a great book. It's by Michael Greger. And that is it. So Happy New Year. I wish you happy reading if that's something you're into. Let me know what your favorite books of the year are. I always love recommendations. In fact, almost everything I read is based on a recommendation. So let me know. Hit me up. Have a great year. And I will catch up with you guys a little bit later. We'll talk about goals and all that fun stuff that we like to talk about at the beginning of the year. Take care.